I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners. Comes in and helps me out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning, but we are in here live, a couple pasty white computer geeks. Feel free to get online and check us out over at WTIC's Facebook page if you really want to see what's going on. The studio's getting spruced, so you can actually check out how that's been going on. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks really nice in here. Yeah,
a little bit of paint. We like it.
Yeah. So it's except for the stuff that got moved around, but that's okay.
That's okay. We don't mind.
We can live.
Yeah, so feel free to get online there. And everything we talk about is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show, which also works. Let's go to the old news bucket there, Dennis. We got some stuff that we want to talk about
as
far as technology
news. Yeah, we got a bunch here. This has been an active week.
Yeah.
Microsoft Teams, you know, that conferencing product that everybody's using now?
Yeah, a lot of people are using it. It's like a messaging system, and you can use it even for making calls and stuff like that. Yep.
Yeah. Now, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
When you've authenticated to it on your computer,
mm-hmm.
the authentication tokens are saved on the computer in clear text.
Of course. That sounds exactly how Microsoft would do security. Keep it wide open and in clear text so every other application can read it.
Now, what happened was there was a security company that detected this mm-hmm. and released information about it.
Right. They probably told Microsoft long ago, right? They probably gave them a heads up.
Oh, yeah. They gave them a heads up. And
yeah.
Nothing was done, so the information got released publicly.
Right. That sounds about right.
And Microsoft's position mm-hmm. is that they are, believe it or not, not going to fix it.
Of course not.
Because they say that it is not a danger.
Mm.
The only way to get this data is to have local control of the computer.
Right.
So they don't consider it a vulnerability that they need to address.
Unbelievable.
I mean...
That's Microsoft. That's Microsoft.
I mean, how hard is it to take the token
and encrypt
hash it,
right.
or encrypt it?
Right.
The encryption is built into the operating system.
Right.
I don't...
You can tell Dennis is going to fall over in his chair. See, we deal with this every day with Microsoft, right? And it's like, when we started as a company, Dennis, we were installing Novell.
Right. Oh, right. I remember those days.
Yeah, whole different architecture, whole different, you know, directory structure.
Yeah, your computers had Microsoft operating systems.
Right.
But the server was Novell, mm-hmm. and the software was made by all kinds of other people that you were using.
Correct.
So it was a big organism with a lot of different people contributing.
And then Microsoft gave it away, the networking and the servers, and here we are stuck with this type of approach to security.
Right.
And this is a cloud, right? This is Teams giving you the token sitting there on your local machine, unencrypted.
I can't get over that.
And as we all go through certifications to get certified in all sorts of levels of security, Microsoft puts out products like this that you can't defend against.
Right.
I mean, you can defend against it, but you can't defend against it.
Well, you can defend against it, according to them, by just locking your where your computer is.
Mm-hmm.
That really works well with a laptop.
Yeah.
But, hey, what do I know?
It's crazy. So in other news, you might have heard this. You may not have heard this. I'm kind of surprised even Morgan didn't have this, but we'll give Morgan a hard time later. Uber has been massively hacked by supposedly an 18-year-old. Yeah, Uber. Uber, the folks that let you ride, getting a ride-sharing car so you can get a ride from somebody else. And great little technology. You know, it's the gig economy, right? Well, an 18-year-old got into their cloud-based Slack messaging system.
Really?
Got into their cloud-based AWS instance, meaning if Uber has servers spun up and workspaces spun up, and basically the operation of their business spun up on the AWS cloud, they have this 18-year-old has access to it.
Wow.
And they also got access to their Google workspace. So Google Workspace is the Microsoft 365.
So Uber is using two completely different clouds.
Multiple clouds. Three. Slack.
Oh, Slack. AWS. And AWS.
Google. Yeah. Well, actually, Slack could be sitting on AWS for all we know.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
But the point is, this guy got in. And basically, he got in because how? Dennis, what's your password?
Oh, 12345. I got the same combination on my luggage.
Exactly. And that's how the guy got in, right? He literally asked some ding dong at Uber who had power, who had admin level power or power enough. And they had 2FA enabled. They had two factor. We're assuming they did. Let's assume they did. They had two factor authentication enabled on these accounts. So on top of saying, what's your password, and having somebody give him the password, they also gave him the second factor so that he could authenticate to the system. So, just so you understand what this means. So let's just say you're a brick and mortar company and you're sitting there, you're a Walmart, right? Basically, assuming no internet, right? Assuming it's the old days, it's the 1990s. An 18-year-old kid basically goes into your Walmart and says, "I am running this whole show now. It's mine." He walks in the door, he knocks on the door and says he's an employee. They open it up, let him in. "Now, I'm running the whole show." This is exactly what's happening in Uber's case. The FBI is getting involved to try to figure out. And the New York Times has interviewed the guy. Bleepy Computer interviewed the guy.
Right.
Or gal. We don't, whatever.
Right.
This is a cloud scenario. So everyone talks about, get over to the cloud. It's just somebody else's servers that have the same vulnerabilities as your on-prem servers. Mm-hmm. Except in this case, you got some third. This kid is got you by the Uber.
Right. I've said this off the air.
Right.
How do tech people, why don't they know enough not to just hand over credentials and tokens to other people?
Because I swear these guys don't know how the sausage is made. They're a lot of them are younger and they don't know how, they really don't even know how the technology is made. Or that's an arrogant thing. If you look at the stories that are out there, the Uber employees were banging back and forth with this guy as he was.
Oh yeah, they thought it was like a joke when the guy injected his screenshots into Slack.
Right. Showing that he had control over their AWS.
They just figured
AWS
it was some Joe working at the company that was fooling around and acting as if he was a hacker.
Right. So clearly they didn't have any real monitoring on these things. They didn't have any intrusion prevention. Well, you can't prevent intrusion when you intrude as somebody who's authenticated.
When it's an employee's account, right.
Right.
That's so, literally not intrusion.
Correct. It's a walk in the door. I got the keys. Thank you. Let me come on in.
And you're right. It's like somebody walking into a Walmart and saying, "Hey, I'm the manager today."
Exactly. It is really kind of like that if you think about it back in the 90s. But of course, what would happen back in the 90s is somebody would grab him by the back of the neck and chuck him out the door. Right? Back in the 90s, that's what we did. Now they would be like, "Oh, please, can you leave?" We won't go there. So we'll put a link up here for the story. You can go ahead and read it. And I've got TechCrunch articles. It's all over the place. And again, I'm kind of surprised the mainstream media hasn't really talked more about this because it just shows the massive vulnerabilities of our cloud-based and or any type of based technology systems. You put the best controls in place, two-factor authentication. You're working for a technology company. I assume somebody trained you. Maybe you're doing security awareness training, but maybe you're not. Maybe you're just so arrogant, you're not even training your own people. I mean, the name of your company is Uber, so maybe you are that way. And you're not even training your people on what to look for. I mean, they had to get past the 2FA and the password.
Right.
And they got high-level credentials to have access to this stuff.
It's just mind-boggling.
It is. So you guys can take a look at it and see what's going on, and it should give you pause, right? So I'm just waiting for when Microsoft, their environment is owned like this. They've already had issues and instances of being owned. And imagine if you've got your instance of whatever on the Azure cloud, and the, and somebody's going to turn off your server, or you pay him in, or her in ransom, right? Thanks to crypto, which is also shouldn't be a thing. So we'll put a link up here for you guys. You can see what's going on. Anything else you want to talk about, Dennis?
Well, speaking of news that didn't make the that should have made the major media but didn't.
Yep.
Like the one that we just talked about.
Right.
There is a story that did make the major media.
Yeah.
It was an explosion, quote unquote,
right,
at MIT.
Yep. I heard about that all over the news. I heard that. We had a big explosion at MIT.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be some guy who was, you know, squawking about how terrible Zuckerberg is and how the metaverse is going to destroy humanity.
Right.
Sort of a Unabomber light kind of guy.
Right.
Well, I've got a Register article
from
our favorite
pond blog. Yep.
And it seems to be a hoax.
Right.
So it wasn't a real incendiary explosion. It was just some kind of a pressure vessel that popped. And so there really was an event that kind of resembled an explosion.
The sound and maybe freaked people out.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a bomb.
They had like funfetti in it or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, if it was the Register, they might have said so. But
but again, the point is, the story was not quite true from the larger media outlets. They don't seem to source or follow up or understand the severity. You know, there's no checking of these sources. There's no full understanding of these reports. They just blast it out.
And the only place you would have known that it was a hoax was by going to tech media, because the tech media were on it right away as a hoax.
Yep.
Some of them, their initial reports said this could be a hoax.
Right. Right.
That's not what the rest of the media did.
Of course not. Well, at least it was a hoax, and that's good. Nobody got hurt.
Well, yeah.
So we'll put those links up there for you, some of those stories about what's going on in the news and technology. So feel free to get online, though, today. We're here till 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning here in New England. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. That's the number. It's the only number. No matter where you are in the country, 860-522-9842. WTSA used to pick up the tab with the 800 number, but no more. You must use your cell phone. 860-522-9842 is the number. Get online. Or you can post a question over on our Facebook page, over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're waiting for you guys. We're here until 11 o'clock. We have three lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number, the only number. You can also email us in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. You can also go to the Facebook pages, and Dennis is monitoring the Tab one, and I'm watching the WTIC one. You can put questions out there. Whatever way you want to get your question in, we'll do our best to help you out. Let's go to your calls, though. We got Tim first in Meriden. Morning, Tim.
This morning.
Good, sir. How are you?
Not too bad.
What can we do for you?
After spending about an hour and a half on the phone with the with Cox Communications regarding my email, because it no longer sends from my Cox account.
Oh boy.
Oh.
So they claim that their email is now free, and they can't help me. So
what? Are you a Cox subscriber?
30 years, yeah.
Okay, and then they're saying, wait a minute, you're paying for the internet service. They're then saying it's free email.
And they said they don't offer email anymore, that if you were to get a Cox account today, you wouldn't get email. They don't offer it anymore.
Huh.
Wow, first I heard of that.
It doesn't even matter. Well, it doesn't matter, though, because you have an account with them.
Correct.
So they're throwing their hands up that they can't help you on the send side. Now, what's your mail client? What tool you're using to send your mail?
I'm using two different ones, so they're both having the same issue. I use Exchange 365, and then I also use Apple Mail, the native app on my iPhone.
How about if you go and just open up a web browser and log into your mail there?
That works.
Okay,
so it's just the clients that aren't working.
Right, which means, is there's settings there that even the Cox support guys don't seem to know. How to configure
I work in IT. I'm very familiar with all their settings and all this stuff, and I literally found everything on the internet and walked through everything with them but then at the end of the day, they said, well, you're using a client, so we can't help you because it works on our service.
Well,
so as long as you log in our service and it works, that's we're done with it.
Kind of, it's kind of true. You know that in IT, that is kind of true. I do think it's an awful stance, but it is kind of true. They're like, well, we've proven our mail goes through the web that Dennis just talked about, so it's not us, it's you.
But this worked up until a couple weeks ago, and then it just stopped sending.
Right.
Now, I have a private exchange account that I have a small business with, and that sends and receives through Exchange no problem.
Yep.
I can't send anything through my private email. So here nor there, I mean, whatever, if I have to change, I have to change. My problem is, how do you change?
Okay, it's easy.
I understand to get a new email, and of course, you can't get your same name because it's not available anywhere. I checked the number of sources, and there's variations of it.
Right.
But
Oop, you there?
Oh, I think we lost you.
Oh, come on, Tim. You still there, Tim? I think we lost his cell phone. It's okay, but we knew where he was going. So we're going to, Tim, hang, keep listening. We're going to answer your question after the news here and explain how to migrate your email from the Cox system over to another system. And
right.
The one I'd recommend would be Proton.
Right.
So hang on, Tim. I'm not sure what's up with your cell phone, but we'll answer your question after the news. And Mark, Walter, hang on as well. A couple lines open for you guys. We'll be right back after the news. ComputerTalkWithTab.com is where everything's been posted by Dennis live here in the studio. And, of course, over on our Facebook page, Mike G is posting things as well. I was going to say feverishly, but we can't say feverishly anymore. He is working as hard as he can, posting that stuff as quickly as possible over to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We get a full board of calls, so I want to thank you guys for doing that. Otherwise, Dennis will be talking about our kids and our cats, and that's not fun. Let's go to you, back to your calls. Tim is back from Meriden there. You there, Tim?
Yeah.
All right.
Good old Wi-Fi calling failed me.
yeah. Technology, man. That's why we're here.
I love it.
So you asked a question about how you're going to migrate your email to a different mail provider.
Correct.
And So you're generally going to configure a, you're going to choose a new mail provider. We'd recommend, or I would recommend Proton. I think Dennis would too.
Yeah.
I was looking at that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a free version of it. There's also a paid version where you can then, of course, get your own domain and be, instead of, you used to be at cox.net, you'll be at whatever you want to be.com. Right.
Right.
Okay. Which is even pretty cooler. Actually, I think that domain names might be available, whatever you want to be.com.
There you go.
Just email me at tim@whateveryouwantabe.com. So what you do is you configure the Proton mail, and then there's an interface that occurs between Proton and Cox where it'll dump all the mail to their mail system for you. It'll be resynced. You're probably running IMAP right now, right? So it'll resync over to your Proton mailbox and your mail client, and all that mail will be taken care of. You can then configure Cox to forward your mail to the Proton box.
I look for that. I couldn't figure out where it was. That's really why I had the question, because I couldn't figure out online. You can't. There's no way to do it. I don't know if they prevent it, which is entirely possible.
It is entirely possible, but you can also put in a tool on your machine that'll keep it synced together using the IMAP technology. So you can download a Proton tool that'll allow you to use Outlook on your computer, and it'll be like an interface. It'll talk to Cox, it'll talk to Proton, and keep that sync going as you notify everybody that you're now using tim@whateveryouwantabe.com as the new email address.
Okay. Sounds fairly simple.
It is fairly simple. The other thing too, Tim, as we were talking about your issue off air, your mail client, is it up to speed? Is it running the latest version of the mail client? Because you could be like dealing with a TLS-1 scenario or something that's been deprecated in your mail system.
Well, my machine is brand new. I run a mini PC now.
Okay.
And that's literally brand new. It's a couple months old. Okay. And it's got the latest version of Office.
Okay. Then you're current.
Like I said, I get Office actually through GoDaddy because of my business account. So that runs. So that's updated, and I make sure my machine is always updated. So
okay.
I don't believe that would be a problem, but
nope.
It's just strange that it does. And my wife's machine is having the same issue.
Different
and
mail.
It's totally different. Totally same mail. Like same different email address, but same setup. And hers was working fine, and then it just stopped working. And they're claiming that nothing changed on their end. So I just didn't know if you had heard from other people. I know you're in Southington, so
yeah.
I know originally you had Cox. I don't think you probably do anymore.
I do not.
so I didn't know if you had heard from anybody else with the same issue.
Yeah, no, I haven't. And I just am disappointed in their answers on the support because you're paying for
the
service. Oh,
I was so angry with them. It was like after 30 years... And I pay a lot of money for my service.
Absolutely. Anybody who has cable is paying a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to sunset off that, but I just need to know the best way to do it.
Yeah, and you can also...
As always, you guys are awesome. So.
Well, thank you. When you sunset off of it, you can also put your account in like a paused mode, or if you're going to get off of their internet service as well. So you can pay $9 for the email that doesn't work, because it still works. They'll forward your mail is flowing. It's just not getting to your clients. I wonder if it's as firewall.
No, I'm receiving email. The IMAP side of it's working.
Yeah, no, right. On the send side.
The SMTP side not working.
Right, which is they're not authenticating you for some reason.
Right, exactly.
I don't know why, Tim, and they didn't know why, so we're probably not going to be able to help you there. But get Proton.
I appreciate it. And maybe somebody else will hear this and have the same issue and realize that maybe it is a Cox issue.
Well, yeah, and the other benefit of going to Proton is it's fully encrypted. Your email is now sitting in Switzerland, which is kind of interesting. And, it's a safer way to send and receive email in an encrypted way, so there's nobody in the middle listening to it.
Yeah, I know. I've listened to you guys for a long time, and one of the things I don't want to do is go to a Yahoo or a Hotmail or one of the other ones and just have a problem down the road. I'd rather just pay for it and be I rely on my email too much to not have it, secure.
So. Secure and working, exactly. So.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, good luck, Tim. We'll put some links up there for you, too, if you need them.
Awesome. As always, thanks you guys a lot.
Our pleasure.
Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
Take care.
All right, so Tim's got a plan, something to do today. Let's go on to Mark in Berlin. What's happening, Mark?
Hey, guys. Happy Saturday.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a reprieve. The grass is still too wet.
There it is. There it is. Yep.
We hear you.
Hey, simple, simple question. Maybe very similar to Tim's.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, I switched over to GoNet Speed.
Ah, congratulations!
Yay!
Yay! it's cheaper. It's faster. Yep. And the line was 20 feet from the house.
Perfect.
Question is, I still have the cable box.
Right.
And my email with my provider.
Yep.
Once I call up my provider next week and argue with them about canceling my email charges.
Well, there is no email charges per se. It's bundled.
My internet charging.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is that going to impact my email with that?
Possibly.
Yeah, it could.
So this is what I did. I put myself on a pause. So you pay him like $9 a month as you migrate all your accounts from whatever accounts you've configured with your old email address over to a new service like Proton.
Right, Proton. Okay.
Yeah. And in some cases, even if you cancel the service, the email may still flow, but I can't guarantee that it will.
Yeah.
They're seeing a lot of cancellations.
You're taking a chance on that.
So.
Okay. Could you throw a link up on how to do that? My son's a geek, and he'll be able to decipher it.
Yeah, we'll put the same link that we did for Tim as far as the Proton migration. As far as pausing your service, there is links on there from Cox and Comcast. Who do you have in Berlin, Cox?
Comcast.
You have Comcast. Okay. We'll see if we can find a link on that, how to pause your service so that at least you're just paying the minimum there so that you can at least have some time to reset up all those accounts. But once you create your own account, whether it's Mark at whateveryouwanttobe.com, now all of a sudden you have control, right? It's your mail system. You're paying a company for it. However, I should tell you this, right? Proton's there today. Could they be gone tomorrow?
So can anybody.
So exactly. So keep that in mind. Whereas when it's free, you're the commodity. They're reading your email, and they could also be gone tomorrow. At least with a service you're paying, the chances, because you're paying them, they'll probably will stick around, I'm hoping, right? They've been around for quite some time, and they've recently updated their services even further, offering you even more. They also have a great VPN they bundle in so that if you do need to do something more securely in a more public area, you can use their VPN as well. So check it out.
Sounds good.
All right, Mark, good luck, and enjoy your speed. What did you end up buying for speed?
I got 750. It's coming in 200 and change.
You may want to ask him about that.
There aren't a lot of devices in the house, so...
No.
But so far, I'm good with it, and okay. It's only been 3-4 days.
Oh, okay, Mark. That's cool. They may have to tune some things for you.
Yep.
So enjoy.
Hey, guys, listen to you all the time.
Well, we're glad you're there. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Yep, you too. All right. So, yeah, once you get rid of your cable, incumbent cable service or DSL service that had the quote-unquote free mailbox, the reason they did that free mailbox was it made you more sticky, right? Made it harder for you to leave, kind of like the old phone people keeping their old phone numbers, right? You're still paying AT&T for this old phone number because so many people have your old number. And same idea with email, right? You're worried about canceling so that everybody has your email. But it's not a big deal, guys, to use a different mailbox or have a different email system. You don't have to be tied to somebody you're paying $300 a month for like a car payment for internet service.
Yeah. You can make a break and move on to something else.
Yep. Change is good. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Tom and Harwinton. Walter, West Hartford, Ruth in Colchester. Hang on, one line open for you, 860-522-9842. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be at 11 o'clock. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go right to, I guess, Walter's next in West Hartford. What's happening, Walter?
Hey, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. I've got an old laptop. It's about 6 years old, and it's Windows 8.1.
All
right. So I figure I need a new one.
Yeah.
And I've got some questions about the specs.
Okay.
So for a chip, do I need an Intel i5, i7, or i9?
Well, what are you doing with it, Walter? What are you using your computer for? Just email and surfing and basic stuff?
Yeah, and small spreadsheets.
Okay. i5 is fine.
That should do it.
Hard drive, 512 gigabytes or 1 terabyte?
Probably 512 solid state would do it.
Memory, 12 or 16 gig?
16 if you can swing it.
And Windows 11 for home or Windows Pro 11 for business?
Well, if you're using it in a business environment, this is where a lot of our customers make a mistake, too. They think they can save a few bucks on a home system for business. So if you're in a business environment that's going to connect to a domain, then you need Pro. But if you're at home, use the home. It is a different operating system.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've been looking through various companies online, options.
Yeah.
For components, and some of them seem to be saying that the Windows Pro 11 is suggested, just kind of like across the board.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
But in your case, if you're just a home user, you're not going to connect to a Windows domain, home should be fine.
Right. They may have a special they're pushing. They may. Who knows why they would do that for home users.
And then what kind of security software? I've got Norton 360.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear you guys saying that all you really need is an antivirus.
Well, there is an antivirus that's built into Windows now. Windows, I believe from Windows 8 up, it has Windows Defender. It's built in. And that is actually a decent product now. They've improved it.
That's just antivirus. That's not all the other stuff that Norton supposedly
Correct, but there's another layer of security that you can add for yourself.
For free.
For free, no cost. It's called OpenDNS. And it's not even something that you install on the computer. What you do is you configure it. You're typically going to do it in your router. There's a change that you make to the router, and the OpenDNS website has, instructions on how to do that. Yep. And once you do that, what you've done is add OpenDNS to your entire network in your house.
Made everything safer.
Right. And it makes everything safer, every device. So it's really a good idea. And that gives you two layers of security. You have antivirus on the computer, and then you have OpenDNS blocking the computer from going to known bad websites.
And you can even then choose categories. Let's say you had kids that were going to come over to your home. You could actually block access to any sites that you deem inappropriate in your home.
Okay, and what should I be looking for in a new router?
Well, in a new router, do you have a lot of folks that are going to be in the home using it?
Primarily me, but my wife and kids will use it infrequently.
Okay. There's like a MIMO technology that you may want to find, but most of those routers are going to have them now. Mesh capabilities, if you want to add extended wireless reach where you have the router in the middle of your home, and then you may have additional access points that will actually create a mesh umbrella of wireless if you have a large home. That would be what I would look for. Look to spend maybe a couple $100 on this type of router. What was your question, Walter? I kind of interrupted you.
No, okay. I mean, the next question is going to be about how much should I expect.
Yeah, if you want those types of technologies and you want enough broadcast oomph, right, because they're going to have a bunch of – they're going to look like a crab with a bunch of antennas. And the reason you have a bunch of antennas is so that you can have a bunch of conversations happening wirelessly. The more antennas, the more ability for the device to have a nice dedicated communication with wireless systems. So you're probably going to spend $250, maybe even $300 if you want to have a good device. I still recommend Linksys. It works really well, but ASUS has some good routers out there too. Don't necessarily trust those links of the best routers by so-and-so, but maybe PCMag I would trust or CNET I would trust is some of the best. They'll give you some comparisons.
Another brand that's really beefed up lately is a TP-Link Archer series.
Mm-hmm.
TP-Link Archer?
Yep.
TP-Link, TP-Link, and then the line of routers they make is called Archer. And
Thomas Peter Link.
Yep.
Yes. You got it.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and like, as you guys always emphasize, be sure that the password is password.
Exactly. Make sure it's password. Yeah.
Okay. And then a while back, people used to be talking about getting Chromebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked my friends who've gotten computers and have got kids who've got Chromebooks.
Yep.
And they seem to be saying that it's still better to get a laptop.
I would tend to agree. I'm disappointed with,
I would too.
With Chromebook's capabilities. We have a Chromebook at home, and we use it for our financial stuff to try to have a separate device. But the apps that are designed for it are not the same as on your phone. So you get some kludginess that occurs. Believe it or not, you need an awful lot of horsepower for it to work well, which is kind of surprising. So, yeah, I'm not so sure Chromebooks have delivered what they promised, a low-cost alternative to Windows. Windows still is one of the leading operating systems on PCs so far. Someday their comeuppance will happen.
Yeah.
You're
saying to use a Chromebook for – you use a Chromebook for what?
We have a separate Chromebook to do anything financial. We don't use it to do any surfing. It's a separate book. We turn it off when we're done with our use of it so that it's more secure, less chance of anybody surfing where they shouldn't, having some sort of malware loaded on it, and then a keylogger capturing my password and draining my account.
So how much should you be spending on a Chromebook to do that, and what would you be looking for?
You're going to be looking for the same specs we just gave you, kind of.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're not going to be that much cheaper than the Windows computer. That's part of the problem.
Right. So, you know.
So you're basically suggesting...
separating. Yep.
Two different pieces of computing hardware.
Right. To do your work.
Similar specs and similar costs.
Sadly, yes.
So you can't buy a Chromebook and spend less on the corresponding laptop.
Doesn't seem so. There might be some deals out there. You're going to have to do some searching on this, Walter. We're coming up against a hard break. Mr. Morgan's getting ready to do the news. Did we give you enough to go on?
I got like one or two more quick questions.
All right, then you hang on, all right? We're going to be right back after the news with Walter, Tom, and Ruth. Hang on, we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.